Good afternoon, New York, and the rest of our listeners around the globe. My name is June Stoyer, and I'm the host of the Organic View Radio Show. Our podcast is available on iTunes, Zune, and you can also visit our website at www.theorganicview.com, where you can subscribe to our newsletter. If you have any questions for our guests, there are many ways you can contact the show. You can post a question on our wall on Facebook, Skype us, send us a tweet on Twitter to @TheOrganicView, or you can contact me directly at June Stoyer on Twitter. If you'd like to be on the show or would like to find out about sponsorship opportunities, please contact us at questions@TheOrganicView.com. Today, my guest is Matt McLean, and we're going to be discussing the future of organic agriculture in 2013. Now, it's a new year, and with it comes a whole new year of challenges for the organic industry. In 2012, although the battle to label GMOs on food was lost due to the failure to pass Proposition 37 in the state of California, the war is not over. If anything, more people are now aware of the plight of the organic farmers, the need to buy locally grown organic, and are demanding the right to know what is in their food. So on today's show, I have the pleasure of welcoming back to the show Matt McLean, who's the CEO of Uncle Matt's Organics, and he's also the board president of the Organic Trade Association. Matt has a myriad of expertise in the organic industry, including marketing, distribution, farming, certification, and public policy. Back in 1999, Matt McLean ventured into the organic juice business with a passion for healthy living, as well as a long family history of growing citrus in Florida. Matt's goal was, and still is, to produce the highest quality juice using only premium 100% organically grown fruit that is free from synthetic fertilizers and pesticides. His company, Uncle Matt's Organics, is a leading producer of premium certified organic citrus from Florida, and if I do say so myself, he also produces the most amazing avocados. So I would like to welcome to the show Matt McLean. Good afternoon, Matt, and Happy New Year.
Ah, good afternoon, June. Thank you so much. Happy New Year to you. It's always a pleasure to be on your show. Thank you so much for inviting me. I hope to share some wisdom with you guys today and your listeners. And as always, just really a pleasure to be here with you.
Thank you, Matt. Now, Matt, in regards to organic citrus, can you share with our audience exactly how big of a business organic citrus is in America?
Compared to conventional citrus, you know, if you look at organic as a whole, if you walk into your average supermarket, we're penetrated about 4%. And some items, milk is above 5%. Some of the salads, organic, is over 10%, like organic spinach salads from some of the guys out in California. Citrus, I would guess, we have not reached our 4%. We're below that. I would say we're more around 2 or 3%. California is primarily the largest grower of organic fresh citrus in the U.S., and Florida is the largest grower of organic juice oranges and juice fruit in the U.S.
Now, in regards to the profitability of organic farming, can you share with our audience as far as organic in general is concerned?
Well, you know, we get asked that quite a bit. Actually, we get asked that all the time down here in Florida as we try to convert growers from conventional to organic. And they come into our farms, and they look and ask questions and kind of kick the tires. And, you know, a lot of them, the bottom line, it comes to how much money can I make? What's the opportunity? Can I provide for my family? Is it more profitable? And there's a myriad of things that go into that, from selection, depending on their grove and their rootstock and varieties and location and things like that. But for the most part, on average, if you have a good producing citrus grove, and you follow our methods, and weather cooperates with you, yes, you're going to be more profitable than conventional. And I also believe, and it's for us, our growers, what's nice is we don't go through the wild swings that you see conventional ag, where one year record prices, and then the next year it's record lows, and you go up and down and up and down. organic because we are a growing market and continue to be a steady growing market. We are more stable in our pricing, at least in citrus, not all commodities, but for organic, when it turns to organic fresh citrus and juice, we are much more stable in pricing than conventional. So, yes, to answer your question, I believe a good, smart, organic farmer is more profitable than your average conventional farmer.
Have you noticed a shift in consumer behavior as far as the demand for organic citrus?
Well, we continue to expand our acreage, and we have more growers that come to us that want to convert. And we also have, it's because we need more. Our demand continues to grow. We have more consumers that are asking for organic citrus every season. So we are blessed in that respect, and we continue to grow with the industry.
I've noticed, especially here in the Northeast, that more and more of the big supermarket chains are starting to carry a wider variety of organic. How far off do you think it'll be before organic truly becomes mainstream and not just a specialty type food item?
Oh, now that's a real good question. How much time do I have on the show?
30 minutes.
You know, there's several factors that'll go into that. I think organic has hit the mainstream from the standpoint every major retailer out there, every major supermarket knows about organic, knows about the opportunity of organic. There's still a lot of them that are dabbling on how much they sell and which items and which categories they sell. Where do they display it? How often do they promote it? Do they do everyday low pricing? Do they do high and low type themes? So, from a retail standpoint, we have the customer base that's aware of organics. Now, defining mainstream is it on every shelf everywhere? Is it at eye level and you dominate the set with organic? I mean, that's a good ways off. If you look at our numbers saying we're 4% of the market right now, I would say to get to a point where, in my opinion, 10% is a great number. You know, for me, a 10% goal on the organic industry in the next 5 to 10 years would be, I think, great for our ag and for consumers' health, et cetera. To get to that, I mean, we need some more things to happen from the supply chain, from, you know, just more efficiencies through the supply chain for organic, more technology through organic farming methods, some things that I think could really help us get more in front of the consumer and in front of that retailer and distributor with a product that is better. And I think the other thing would be creating more value in the mind of that consumer. On average, organic, they're willing to pay on average 30% more for organic is what the research shows. And, you know, the struggle sometimes, depending on the product or the organic commodity, is it costs more than 30% to produce with some of the inefficiencies in the system or in the model, being small versus very large conventional models. So we've got some things to overcome there before we can really be mainstream to that extent, depending on your definition. But I'm very proud of what the industry has done to date with virtually no funding. You know, we have, from an agriculture standpoint, very little money put into research at the local level with the university, with the land-grant universities. There's very few things that you can go out there and find to help growers and farmers convert things to organic. So, you know, we've grown really by ourselves as an industry, isolated from a lot of the other funding that conventional guys get. I would love it to be 10%, and that's a goal of mine in the next 5 to 10 years.
Thank you. I think one of the biggest things that retailers can do is to offer more of the commonly purchased organic items make those particular items available. As what I often find is either the supermarket will have a specialty food section where they'll clump all of the organic foods together, or they'll mix it in, and consumers are a little bit confused as far as whether or not that particular retailer carries organic or not.
Right.
Especially in certain parts of the United States, not every store carries 100% organic, unless
right.
that is a particular store that's what they do.
Right.
Even some of the bigger natural food stores, as they deem themselves to be, are still carrying a mixture of certified organic with the non-organic foods, so to speak. And I think perhaps maybe if the retailers would make that effort to alert their customers as far as where they're, what types of organic foods they offer and where they can be found. And, you know, once again, when you're dealing with a retail environment, every store is going to be different. So perhaps if there were a little bit more structure, that could help. But I think the fact that more people are aware of the need for organic foods, not to mention are aware of what GMOs are and are demanding GMO-free foods, that has been tremendous as far as the support for organic agriculture.
Absolutely. Well, you know, a couple things to the point about trying to be mainstream and what you just said about the retailer. And there, some of them do integrated sets, so you'll have organic right in line with your conventional. So if you're going to buy Uncle Matt's organic orange juice, you would go into the supermarket, the same place where you'd buy conventional orange juice. And so you would see an organic option next to your conventional. And so that's what we call an integrated set. I personally believe that's the best method, and we need specific signage to highlight your organic option within that conventional set. So if you go to the pasta, then you have organic highlighted next to your conventional options. If you go to, you know, dairy, anything, it highlights it that way. The other option that you're talking about is the store within a store concept. And sometimes those work well, and other times it's an organic museum, you know, because nobody goes there. Because it's off to the side of the store, it's in a different part of the store. A lot of times that store within a store set can be, it's not your typical warehouse items that come through the grocery store's own warehouse. It's outsourced to a distributor. So you'll get a natural food distributor that will do all the set in that store within a store concept. And that can add some layers of cost to it as well. But not always. Some of the stores, grocery stores, do store within a store concepts, and they bring the items through their own warehouse and distribute it. But that's one thing when I talk about efficiencies in getting to mainstream, is trying to get it integrated throughout the store and get items going through the store's warehouse themselves, so it hits their own efficiencies in their model and they don't have to buy it from a distributor and add the distributor's margin on that item. And then the organic, because it's a small niche, becomes a lot more expensive because you've added a couple layers there. So as our industry continues to grow from like 4% to somewhere around 10% or better, then you have opportunities where the supermarket is saying, okay, these are high enough volume items. We need to bring them all through our warehouse. We can cut out that layer of an additional 15 to 30% margin sometimes from the distributor. And then you'll get an everyday low price that's more reasonable for organic, and it won't be the organic museum over there in the corner.
Yeah, I think that would definitely help a lot if, you know, if there were a little bit more structure. But it's interesting that technology actually plays a role in the sense that even if a retailer carries a particular product, if it's not on the shelf, it may just be that the system has not kicked in to replenish that or go through the fulfillment process, or
right.
It may be just a trial run just to see how that product fares in the market. Do you have any advice to consumers that are listening that would like to see more products such as Uncle Matt's organic orange juice? I mean, I personally would love to see Uncle Matt's organic orange juice in every single store that I go to, because it seems as though it's a treasure hunt just to find organic citrus of any kind in the Northeast.
You're right. You know, I will say the age of social media is fantastic. For one thing, your voice can really matter now. So if you get on the Facebook page of your retailer or you email them repeatedly about some item that they don't have and that they should carry and that your family doesn't want to shop somewhere else, it begins to really matter to them. I'm surprised how many retailers will forward emails to me about our products, wanting, when a consumer asks them a question or wants to know why they can't get this, they listen. They listen more than you think, the good ones, the ones that have been around and really care about their customers. So I would just encourage your listeners, when they go in and they don't find an item, try not to get overly discouraged. Start at store level first and ask for the, if it's the produce category that you're lacking an item that you want to find, find the produce manager, ask them. If he can't bring it in, then ask the store manager. And if they won't do anything with you at that level, then go to the corporate website or the corporate Facebook page and start complaining. And talk about how you feel underserved and you're a small family and a mom and, you know, your kids are demanding this. They really care about that. And in this economy, they don't want to lose one customer. So social media is a very good thing I have seen for that.
I've also found that if you explain to them that you are a loyal shopper in their retail store and you prefer to shop in their store as opposed to the other retail outlets, that you would appreciate if they would expand the current line of organic products and give names to the products that you'd like to see, they will listen. Even if they just bring in a few small cases at a time, they will listen to the consumers. They're very quick to accommodate consumers that patronize their stores, especially loyal customers. Supermarkets spend, they spend thousands, maybe even millions of dollars in loyalty marketing programs. And it's a very big business, and with all the little things that they do, from the customer loyalty card to all the different gadgets that you might find in your supermarket to the coupons, I mean, there's just all sorts of different things that they do. It does really help if you tell them very specific information. Now, in regards to the export of organic produce, Matt, how are things going with the exportation of organic citrus? Is there still big demand for organic citrus in other parts of the world?
Yeah, in terms of Florida, okay, our biggest export markets are Japan and Europe for our citrus, and it's primarily grapefruit. The Florida grapefruit is known worldwide for a really sweet, nutrient-dense, good amount of juice content. And so those are the two markets we primarily ship to. I can say from an organic standpoint, this goes back to the supply-demand thing that I was telling you before, we don't have enough supply, not enough acreage in Florida to do any export at this moment to either Japan or to Europe. So we're just focusing on trying to grow enough for our domestic market at this time. And we have a variety of people every year that contact us and reach out and say, hey, is this our year? Are we finally going to be able to import something from you? And we just have to politely say, sorry, still not there, which is a good problem to have. But I do like to travel abroad, and that would be nice.
In regards to the fact that in America we still import inferior non-organic produce, what do you think needs to happen in order for that to change? I mean, I think it's ridiculous that we have the most superior organic citrus right in our own backyard, but yet we still think that we're getting a better deal by importing produce that's saturated with pesticides for a cheaper price. It just doesn't make sense.
Well, that comes back to the consumer. They've got to be wise enough when they go to that store that they're voting for a process or a method with their purchases. And if they are voting for the cheapest thing on the shelf with nothing behind it as far as a story or food safety or nutrient density or the way it was farmed, for example, organic, then they continue to vote, and that retailer is going to put on the shelf what sells for them. So I just encourage your listeners, if you're not buying organic now or you're just buying a little bit of organic, what can you do in the new year? Here's a great New Year's resolution. When you go to the store, try and buy each week one new organic item. Just find one new organic item in that store and add it to your cart. It will help our industry tremendously if everybody would do that. But that's the best way to do it. Vote with your dollars.
Thank you. One of the things that I began doing last year was, with my budget, there's certain organic items that still are not available locally. But what I would do is I would shift the at least $10 worth of my money towards the locally grown organic, just to support the local agriculture.
Mm-hmm.
And it's not a lot, but if everybody did it, it would add up.
Oh, absolutely. If you could find a local organic CSA, Community Serve Ag, those are fantastic things to support. They will provide you in season. You know, it can't be year-round because there's very few places in the U.S. that can grow year-round, but other than California and different parts out there, and then South Florida. But you can at least in a couple seasons support local organic right there in your backyard. And just, you know, look in the yellow pages, go online, Google CSA, Community Serve Ag, and organic, and put in your address and see what you find nearby.
One of the things that I would also recommend is that people begin planting anything from a kitchen herb garden to whatever it is that they can grow in a container if you don't have the land or if you don't have the time or even the strength to have a garden bed. The more that you grow yourself, the more you take responsibility for your own food, it actually not only benefits your health, but it also helps to contribute to how much money you're spending in the supermarket. And every little bit does count. And I think the more that people start to do that, it's amazing how they really see the fight that the organic farmers have, as well as how the industry works. But also I think it's important that instead of demanding certain foods all year round, you embrace the seasonal foods.
Mm-hmm.
Now, give your body a rest. Embrace the seasonal foods. Utilize what is grown locally, and now, for the most part, understand that when you're importing foods from faraway places, there are certain foods that really are unnecessary, and all it does is it just contributes to the fight against what the organic farmers have been battling.
Mm-hmm. You know, you bring up a good point. I just finished my, about a month ago, I think. What? Yeah, 30, 45 days ago, I finished planting my winter garden here in Florida, and I made some new planter boxes, filled them with compost and put different herbs and stuff in them along with the other garden I've got. And it's so great because our four-year-old now, she just loves to run around that garden. She plays out there all the time, and she'll go up and she knows the different herbs, and she'll pick them periodically and eat them. She knows the different varieties of lettuce and kale and spinach, and she'll pick that and eat it. But it's so neat just to watch her, and then when she'll spot like a honeybee or something flying around, she'll go, oh, look, you know, there's a honeybee. Oh, there's a butterfly. But it's great for kids to learn where their food comes from. and to change their diet away from just stuff that comes out of a package. I mean, there's my little four-year-old. She walks up to a kale and just picks it and starts eating it. I'm like, oh, my gosh. How wonderful is that for a dad to see, you know? And she likes it. Mm. She gets rewarded because there it is. And when she sees a cherry tomato that's ripe red, she can't wait to pick it once it turns red. And we got to wait. You know, it comes out, it starts off green, and then it, yeah. You know, we got a lot of green tomatoes for a while, and then we taught her, hey, now you got to wait. You know, Mother Nature has got to ripen it. And so, but it's just a lot of fun. But to your point, there's a little, it's simple for anybody. You can get, I think they call them just a grow box, and if you Google that, it's a little plastic box. It has a water spout that comes up the one side. It's a small little rectangle thing. Just fill the choker with compost from your local Home Depot, Lowe's, or garden store. You can
make
buy
your
organic.
Own compost.
Make your
lazy.
Own compost. Well, wonderful. Even better, June,
well,
if you do that. I'm trying to make it as simple as possible for people so there's no excuses. Put
and
that in there. Put lettuce. Lettuce is a quick, like, 30-day crop. You can see how quick it grows, and it's abundant, and they can eat it. You could put bush beans in there. Those are quick and easy. They're like a 40-day crop, and kids love to see them, and then they get to pick them off. But, and you can roll the thing in and out of the sunlight on a patio or a window, and all you do is just pour water in the little spigot each day, and it wicks up into the soil. And it's wonderful and very simple to do. But if you're like most people, you're going, oh, I don't have the time, or I don't have the yard space, or I don't know what to do. It just scares the dickens out of me. Simple grow box, Google it, fill it with compost, plant lettuce from one of your local garden stores. So a plug, you just put a plug in there, or plant some kind of bush bean and just watch that joker grow, and in 30 days you'll be amazed, and you don't have to do hardly anything to it.
I will support any efforts for people to just get started, but if you want more information, feel free to email me, folks, at info@theorganicview.com, and I'd be more than happy to give you some advice on composting and getting your own composting started, much less getting a small garden going. I mean, I think it's so incredibly important, but the big picture is the reconnection with taking responsibility for how your food is grown. I think that's the big picture. But I think what it all boils down to is people are becoming more and more aware of the fact that the methods that conventional agriculture is using to grow food, to grow these crops that are having so many issues, it's not working. And when everything hits the fan and the crops fail, people are going to have to resort to growing their own food, which is something that we used to do. But it's just, as a society, we started trading off our, quote, leisure time for other things in order to create more leisure time. And we still don't have the leisure time that we sought not so long ago. So, you know, whatever you can do this year, I think that's important. Just really quickly, Matt, in regards to GMO labeling, can you share with our audience, are there any plans to, for a new approach to getting the labeling passed?
Yeah, you know, Prop 37, it didn't quite make it out there in California. We were hoping that was our big moment, right? And unfortunately got defeated at the end. They spent, oh, I want to say, was it 10 to 1, the money that the other side spent, biotech and some of the those companies, to defeat it in negative advertising. So that was the one big issue, unfortunately, that was the downer in 2012. But I think, on a positive note, the amount of press that got and the amount of people that were educated on the topic that had no idea what genetically modified meant before, and genetically engineered, and what really is in our food system, and what are we eating, and why don't we have the right to know about that? You know, I think you will see many more states follow California's lead, and the national movement will gain more momentum for the FDA to do it nationally under the Just Label It campaign that's going on. So I don't want to be pessimistic. There was a lot of good that came out of that Prop 37 defeat, and the momentum is still there. The groundswell of support for labeling GMOs are there, and we just have to stay positive and stay focused on the goal, which is to let the consumer decide, and then, you know, ultimately that's what will happen.
And ultimately that's what needs to happen, is for the consumers to really step up to the plate. I mean, if you think about it, when people have a cold, what do you want? Do you want something that's the best, or do you want something that's just going to suit your needs? Now, when people get sick, one of the things that they look for is organic orange juice, for example.
Mm-hmm.
And I know many friends that are battling this Hurricane Sandy cold, so to speak, up in the Northeast, myself included, we're looking for the certified organic foods. We don't want the chemicals. We want the foods that are pure as nature intended them. And as we go about our lives and we, you know, look at the different products that are available on the market, I think more and more people are demanding that the products that are available are pure and without the GMOs and all the chemicals. Matt, thank you so much for being on the show today. Can you share with our audience your website?
Yeah, absolutely. It's UncleMatts.com, just as it sounds, UncleMatts, UncleMatts.com. And we're on Facebook the same way. So find our Facebook and our Twitter, and we would be more than happy to oblige you with a $1 off coupon if you write us and tell us you heard us on June Stoyer, The Organic View. And June, thank you so much for having us on The Organic View today.
Oh, you're very welcome, Matt. And folks, thanks so much for tuning in. This has been June Stoyer with The Organic View Radio Show. Have a great afternoon, everyone.